Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Drive, center field, and deep. JT is home to score. And the Phillies have won it. Brandon Marsh with a walk-off as the Phillies rally for two runs in the bottom of the 11th. And they beat the Cubs and snap their losing streak, a 4-3 win.
Wow. How do you like that?
A sigh of relief after last night. We got a victory. Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Good morning, baseball guy Hugh Douglas, who called a victory last night.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia.
You know, an ugly win is still a win. An ugly win is still a win.
That's true. And it was ugly. I mean, let's call it for what it is. Phillies leaving runners on base left and right. Boom. Emotional. Strom blows it in the eighth inning. But, let's focus on the but. The Phillies win. The Phillies win last night. They get a victory, Hugh, in extra innings. Marsh with the big hit. How about Otto Kemp? The little boost. Hugh, that was the kind of game last night they needed. They just needed that.
Yeah. I mean, I heard people talking about the return of the daycare. I don't know about that. I don't know how old Otto is, but he looked like he about 40. Like he has an older man look. I know he's not 40.
He's got a mustache.
Yeah, he looks old. He looks old though.
Well, he's not. How old do you think he looks? 40?
He look about 30. He looked 31.
No, he's not 30.
I know he's not 30, but he looks older.
I think he's 25 years
old. He's not aging well right now. He probably need to quit, you know.
Got three hits last night.
Smoking them Black and Miles and stand up late. You know, I'm just saying. Otto looks old, man.
He's 25.
I know he's young, but he look old. He's what they call an old soul.
Well, I don't care what he is. 25, 30, 40. He had three hits last night. That's what I care about.
He did.
All right, let's get into it. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, Hugh, go ahead. Take the victory lap. Tell everyone you were right. Yesterday, you guaranteed a victory. And then you said, what was the quote? You're the only true baseball guy at WIP.
You know what? I did that because.
Okay.
I knew it was going to be this morning. And I don't like to take victory laps, man. Because,
yes, you do.
I mean, I do.
What was that on Twitter last night?
Every day.
No, you know what? It's not so much. Full disclosure. I just like to be annoying because I know it annoys both of you guys when I do stuff like this.
Yeah.
Because, look, I'm going to be honest. Y'all had me on the ropes yesterday. You guys and you people. But I stayed true to who I am and what I believe in. You know, I even had people texting me, talking, oh, do you really believe that? I believed it. But you were making some valid points. Like, I'm still rooted in reality. And you were making.
I don't know about that.
Okay. But I said it. I said it with conviction.
You did. You said it with a straight face.
And it was one of those things, man, where you have to. These are the tough moments. And I'm convinced they listen to the station. I'm convinced in some capacity. They listen to the station because I talked about yesterday, somebody has to be the spark.
Yep.
And Otto was the spark yesterday with his old-looking ass. He was the spark for this team yesterday. 25-year-old ass looking like he about 35. And he, you know, the way he attacked the bases and everything, he was not going to be denied. And that's what you need. When you talk about suburban energy and trying to fight through suburban energy, he fought through that last night.
He brought a spark. He absolutely did. Let's hear from Otto Kemp after the game. So he had the bunt there, right? And listen to this. Otto Kemp apparently hasn't bunted in, like, what, 4 years? Here's Kemp after the game.
Bunted in game.
I think summer ball in St. Cloud, Minnesota in 2021, and I popped it up straight to the catcher.
So how did it feel to execute it a little bit better?
It was great, yeah. It was great. Just trying to get on top of it and execute.
Well, he did. And then that 11th inning, they did everything right. I mean, those bunts were excellent. I mean, once in a while you get a pair of bunts down that really, really get the defense. I mean, Hugh, they were great bunts, especially the stop bunt had a little backspin on it and it moved away from the pitcher. They used small ball last night, and then I give Brandon Marsh a lot of credit because he's stunk out loud this year, and he hasn't done much. You know, the whole month of April didn't get a hit. I mean, literally. But he hit that ball hard last night. I mean, even if the outfielders were further back, that ball was well over everyone's head. That was a good win. Now, here's the question. Do you feel like it was a turning point?
Right. Because you know what happened last night? Mm. And I'm not a baseball expert, and we have a lot of them here. And what I said last night, that was more for you and Kyle.
Okay.
That wasn't a shot at the real baseball experts here, because I have a tremendous.
Wait. Who shot at
Ruben
us.
Amaro Jr.
Oh, okay.
Ben Davis.
Yep.
And Devin Caney.
Okay. And Devin's our guest at 12 today, so. No, she's fine. She's our Phillies. She comes to Phillies.
But yeah, those are the three.
I thought you were reeling off Phillies, like former players.
I'm going to go ahead. I give a shout-out to my man, Jack. Jack's had a rough week. Jack's a baseball expert. I give him his props.
But he fell down the rankings.
I'm going to give Jack his props.
All right, so go ahead, Mr. Baseball over here, Tom Selleck. Turning point?
And Otto Kemp, for me, was the shot in the arm, because you know what happened last night? In my humble opinion, he shamed everybody else into doing better. And what I mean by that is he came in with that want to. That's what I saw last night. I saw want to. I saw aggressiveness on the base pads. I saw aggressiveness at the plate. And when you have a guy that's like that, as a teammate, you don't want to let him down, especially dude that's just coming up. Like, he just got here. And he went out there, and he played like he wanted to stay.
Yep.
You know, we talk a lot about suburban energy and guys that aren't a cut. Like, when you're used to struggling, you fight through adversity. You know, these cats, for whatever reason, they don't respond to adversity. He did.
Well, to go off of the Otto Kemp example, he's undrafted. There are very few MLB, because MLB has so many rounds, right? Like, it's the football, you get the undrafted player pretty often, right? Like, once a year, every team probably has one on the roster. Mm-hmm. It's cool, right? But it's not unheard of to have an undrafted player become a good NFL player. In baseball, it is exceedingly rare to have an undrafted player stick in Major League Baseball. I think there's only one right now that's a good player, TJ Friedl in Cincinnati. It's just like, it doesn't happen. So you're right. He is playing for his life. I mean, he's playing for his career. He's up here. He's got a shot. I hope he plays again tonight and tomorrow. As long as Harper's out, get out O'Kim in the lineup. Look, last night was an awesome win. It was exhilarating in the 11th inning. The bunts were cool. The crowd was into it. Marsh got a hit. But do I have to be the drunk uncle at the barbecue today?
Yes.
We had three ground ball double plays last night. Boehm still in a big spot. Looks like he's about to wail out there and cry and walk off the field and need help. Mm-hmm. And then I have to deal with the fact that they blew it in the eighth inning. Strom blew the game.
He did.
Gave so the bullpen
gave
blew
a,
it.
Was it a home run? Was it a home run?
It was a home run. It was a home run in the eighth inning. So the bullpen blew it. They needed 11 innings to score 4 runs. They leave runners on base all night. We didn't even mention how many outs they make on the bases. Sosa and Castellanos and Turner. I know the Turner one was tricky because it looked like it might have been a balk. They made 3 outs on the bases. And I'm supposed to sit here and think last night was a turning point.
Out of all of that, they still won the game.
They got
Sometimes
lucky.
It's better to be lucky than good.
Well,
Joe.
Look, I'm happy they won the game, and it certainly was a nice night for the win. Come on, they played like crap for 3 hours.
Think about it like this. And we always like to draw parallels to the watershed moment, if you will, for the Philadelphia Eagles. That game against the Cleveland Browns wasn't pretty.
It was not. The offense was struggled.
Yeah. It was a spark.
They had Miles Garrett blocked the field goal before halftime?
And see, this is the thing that...
Wow, did you just compare it to the Browns? We didn't lose for 2 months after that.
First of all, I know it's baseball, so you're not about to pin me down.
Wow, put the headline up. Hugh Douglas says Phillies will go on 2 month run.
You are not
starting today.
You are not about to pin me down like that,
You made the comp.
And see, the fact that Kyle's being petty this morning does not help any of this. But I will say this. As ugly as that was last night, you beat a good team.
That's true.
And you weren't picked to win. Like, when you look at the percentages, you had like a 47% chance of winning that game. So it was like, because you had Will on the mound.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was handling his business last night. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of errors there. And I'm not trying to sit here and tell anybody that has been watching baseball their whole life that this is, you know, this was a great win, anything like that. But it's a win. And that's the only thing that matters, against a good baseball team. And you got the spark that you needed. The one thing that I said yesterday, before the game, they needed a spark.
They did. And Otto was that.
They got that.
Yeah. Now, look, I will say this. It wasn't a pretty win. There was a lot of things in there that still drive. I mean, the base running was horrendous last night. Yeah. They made an error in the field. The bullpen blew it in the eighth inning. That all being said, it was an important win, right? Like, they needed that last night, because if they didn't get that, the losing streak would have reached, what, 6? It would have been 10 out of 11. I mean, all the doom and gloom would have continued. 215-592-9494. Do you believe or remember last night as a turning point of the Phillies season? Hugh Douglas is there. I'm not willing to go there. I'm happy they won the game, and it was a nice hit by Marsh, and a really fun 11th inning, excuse me, with the two bunts. That you don't see often. I'm just not willing to say, after the garbage I watched for a week and a half, that last night was a turning point. Kyle, where do you come down as the Phillies win it in 11 last night?
Turning point where exactly?
I don't know.
That was, like, without a doubt, one of the most aggravating walk-off wins
I was so mad. When they had
life.
All those base running outs in the base, like, this is the dumbest team in the league.
I was literally pissed off until maybe, like, even 5 minutes after Marsh hit the walk-off. Like, I was still taking everything in. Like, why were we even in this situation? The fact that the two bunts was cool and all, but it really, what that just showed me is that, like, we don't trust ourselves to get a hit in a big moment whatsoever. We had to resort to bunting with a guy who, look, we just heard he hasn't bunted since 2021. I mean, some kid making his, like, what's his fourth game in baseball? I'm not buying into it being a turning point yet. I can't do
y'all
that.
Y'all get caught up on the wrong. I get it. I totally understand.
They played like crap for 3 hours.
And he did what he had to do.
Yes.
To help win.
That's awesome. I'm an Otto Kempka. You're the one that called him 40.
You know, I mean, but you can also look at it as though they did everything in their power
to
try and lose that game.
Yeah.
I mean, Strom blowing it. Alec Bohm, I mean, we're back to this mopey nonsense with Alec Bohm again. JT and Sosa, every time they get up to the plate, it's a feeble ground ball to the left side. I mean, every time they had a man on base, it's like, how can I hit into a double play here? I mean, I don't know. If it had looked a little differently, I might be able to go there with you, Hugh. But I can't go there.
They made three outs on the bases last night. Three. You shouldn't see three in 3 weeks, let alone three in 1 night.
No, I get where you're coming from. And like I said, I'm not trying to make anybody feel different. This is how I feel. And I feel that it starts every momentum swing starts somewhere.
Mm.
It does.
I mean, that's true.
And for everything you're saying is correct. But for whatever reason, that want to was more than the errors that you made. See, that's the thing that people don't understand, is a lot of times it's that want to that pushes you through to the victory. And that's kind of what I saw last night. And that could potentially be the spark for this team.
Yeah, and they did get scoreless innings out of Banks. They got a scoreless inning out of Kirkering, who's been better lately. Even Romano to pitch in extra innings with runners on and not give up, not allow a run to score, that was big time. So, look, there were some positive things, led obviously by Otto Kemp, 3 hits in his first game at Citizens Bank Park last night. But are we going to remember this as a turning point? I need to see a lot more before I go there. Hugh's there, 215-592-9494. Tell you how, we got a lot to do today. Mark Ross, who used to work for the Eagles, now NFL Network, he recently said he would not be surprised. It feels like he thinks there's a chance the Eagles trade for Trey Hendrickson before the start of the season. We're going to talk to Mark about the Eagles' defense. Does Howie have another move up his sleeve? Eagles minicamp today. Nick Sirianni set to speak later this afternoon. So we got a lot going on here. We'll also have Devin on the show, as we usually do on Tuesdays, with the Phils and a lot of Eagles to get to. 215-592-9494. We start with the Phillies. Are we going to remember last night as a turning point? Hugh Douglas says yes. Chris in Middletown. Hey, Chris.
Happy the Titanic is still sinking day, man.
We have not hit the bottom of the Atlantic yet. That's for sure.
No, still taking on water, and Hugh's still over there. You know, I don't believe it. I think Hugh probably shoved some kids and old women out of a life raft, and he's out there floating around in the water, saying everything's fine because he's not on the ship anymore.
Hugh, you did that?
No, I did.
Well, I mean, we all know what happened if there was an emergency.
I know I'm going to get some heat today for this, because there are some diehards that don't want to hear what I have to say. But
they need three outs on the bases.
I'm here being optimistic, because I have my reasons. But, Chris, the floor is yours.
Blind faith Douglas over here.
The floor is yours.
Yeah.
Joe, let me tell you what's going on with Mr. Douglas today. He's a little frustrated. He's mad because after he leaves work today, he's got to go trade in that truck of his for a smart car, which I don't know how he's going to fit in it. It's going to be like, Police Academy movie.
Well, I got to trade him in.
Sorry.
He's got to go do that because the dating pool just dried up in the local area since he insulted all the women here with his explanation about his tweet. Wait, why did I leave Atlanta? The local Hugh Douglas stock is flatline this morning. So.
It can't be no worse than it already was. I mean, to be totally honest.
Yeah, it's about time.
So, guys, that, you know, win, that little puff-puff, you know, we begged and pleaded and, you know, despite our own play, we won. That's not creating a spark at all. They lucked into that win. That doesn't create sparks. They need it like a, hey, Chesty, like, we got there. We did it right. We're rolling now. We're back so they can, you know, feel good about themselves. Those wins that they had last night, when you win that ugly and barely, like, flop across the finish line, that doesn't get it going. I know you guys are short of time, so I'm just going to leave you on the way out with this because this is how I feel about this Phillies team. When's football start?
E-A-G-L-E-S-Eagles! Chris, appreciate it. Well, minicamp is today. It's a mandatory one-day minicamp for the Eagles. And that reminded me of the Eagles chant that were going on our YouTube chat yesterday. You people chanting Eagles out there or in there, whatever you call it. Eagles season is about a month plus away, and with training camp and all that. Look, the Philly season is not over, and the Phillies have a lot still to play for, and they can right this ship. I'm not feeling this morning after, you know, the sloppiness for 3 hours that it was that was a turning point of the season. Again, some good happened last night. Wheeler, as he always seems to do, pitchers excellent, right? We had the Wheeler thing. Most of the bullpen pitch well. They got Otto Kemp, who might be something. I mean, Hugh, I know he's not like a top prospect, right? He's not considered, Andrew Painter.
He looked hungry, though.
He looks – and if you look at his numbers, he really hit in AAA this year. Like, I think he's going to help them. Now, he's not going to be Bryce Harper for the next whatever X weeks, but I think Otto Kemp could play a little bit. I think if you hit that much at AAA, obviously you're in a good groove, and he got three hits last night. So I think there's definitely positives off of last night, but turning point, I mean, that's a big thing to say. You compare it to the Browns game.
Well, I look at it like this, Joe. What he did last night could be a catalyst, because I was talking to Ruben before he left. Shout out to Ruben Amaro. And I was asking him about your swing and how do you adapt to that during the season. And he was basically telling me that you can't. You just have to kind of, you know, go with that. But what you can do is know the situation that you're in. And I think that's what Otto did. And the reason why I feel like he could potentially be the catalyst is because he said it, and Kyle made fun of him about it. He hasn't bunted since he told the story. What is it? He bunted it in the stands or whatever. It popped up.
2021 in a summer league, yeah.
And he did exactly what was needed in the moment. That's what you call non-suburban energy. That's what's called doing what you got to do to get the meal. You get that trying to get a meal ticket, getting it from the mud.
Feels like
that's
luck
what
is
he
what it
did.
Is.
A little desperation.
Well, you know what? That's
what
I say. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that about when Myles Garrett blocked the punt. That if what if the Browns would have gotten it and ran it back? You know, I mean.
Well, they did.
Yeah, that didn't work out the way. But the point that I was making is this, because I forgot the moment.
What are we letting facts get in the way of a good story?
You never do. But the point I'm making is we won the game.
That's true. They did.
They won the game.
Barely, yeah.
But they won the game.
Yeah, they did. And they didn't lose for 2 months.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
You're trying to tell me that the Phillies are going on a two-month run now? Come on.
I didn't say that.
Well, you kind of alluded to the idea. That last night is the catalyst, okay? You know what? If they had gone out last night and bashed five home runs and won the game 10-1, and Turner's hitting the ball over the wall, and Schwarber's hitting the ball over the wall, and Castellanos hits the ball over the wall, and Bohm doesn't look like a total baby on the field, maybe I'd come in here and say, you know what? They're about to heat up here. The bad moments are over. And I do feel good about the win. It was fun. I mean, and Marsh needed that because he's not had a great season. It was a great 11th inning. But turning point feels like a lot. Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will?
Moment too big for Will.
Will, just it's like Alec Boehm. Yeah, moment appreciate it. All right, let's go to Jeff in Wilmington is up. What's up, Jeff?
The paraphrase from a scene from the Titanic. Topper's got the reports in his hand, but the boat is too big and the rudder's too small. Everything he knows is going against him.
Basically, these things don't sink overnight. Right.
For 2 hours.
Right. Right.
I mean, come on, dude. I'm with Kyle. That was the most frustrating. I was still mad after they won that game. Like this, it was so infuriating to see Wheeler go out there and throw another gem, keep a good team down, and we got Boehm out there throwing fits and guys swinging at first pitches. And yeah, the bunts were good. Great. They had four bunts in a game. That's probably four more than they've had, you know, for the last 3 or 4 weeks. But the fact is, they are a team that's rudderless. And without Harper in the lineup, I don't know how long we can sustain this and stay afloat. Because there comes a point where you can hang on for a while, but there comes a point where you get too far down and you're not going to be able to claw back like the Braves are right now.
Well, Jeff, you're right. And offensively, that does feel rudderless. I know the bunts were wonderful last night, and they made it. Yeah, they made it the 11th inning. But, like, let's be real. It took them through 10 innings last night. And obviously, the 10th inning, you get the extra runner on. They only had two runs. I mean, they were grasping at straws to try to get the guys home plate last night.
Yeah. I don't know about Kemp. I mean, yeah, he seems like he's going to be okay to fill in for a couple of weeks. And I think the guys on the morning show, Ruben was talking about, he should probably be in left field. That might be his best spot for now because our outfield is awful. I mean, absolutely brutal.
Well, another wonderful at-bat by Kepler last night late in the game when he pinch hit. Yeah.
Yeah, that it was predictable. I actually predicted Marsh was going to ground into a home-to-first double play and that we'd still be, you know, tied or whatever and try to go to another inning, but I don't know, man.
Well, speaking of predictable, there's nothing more predictable than the Alec Boehm double play in a big spot. I mean, it's like one of the most predictable things
in the game.
You could just bet on it every time. It's remarkable. 215-592-9494. Your phone call is coming up. Hugh is telling us last night was the turning point of the season. I can't go there just yet. I mean, we needed 11 innings to scratch across four runs, and two of those came because of bunts late in the game. All right, your phone calls here. Plus, we'll hear from a couple of people before the game last night on some big picture conversation, including Kevin Long, what Topper said about him. A lot of heat on K Long lately, and I'm putting that heat on because I think the guy's doing a good job. And Kyle Schwarber, what he said about the vibe of the clubhouse right now. 215-592-9494. That's how hot board was last. Are we going to remember last night as a turning point of the season? Hugh says yes. I can't go there today. Where do you come down? It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Sing it, Hugh.
This feels like this is more like disrespectful than anything. I think no, Kyle's making fun of me.
I think if nothing, it's just patronizing. That's all.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Very patronizing. I'm picturing Alec Boehm slamming his bat and slamming his helmet at the plate last night.
The whole team will listen to this. Hugh's in charge of the music today. Turning point victory last night. All right, welcome back. Midday show was last night. Are we gonna remember that as a turning point for this Phillies team? Hugh Douglas is all in that camp this morning. Turning point victory. Three base running mistakes and an error in the field and a blown, save by Pastrana. But hey, it's a win is a win. That was a fun 11th inning. Where do you guys come down? 215-592-9494. We also have another poll up. Was last night a good win? Was it a good win, Hugh? Where did it come down on that one? Is that a good win last night?
Nah. It's a win, though. Mm. It's an ugly win. I mean, I'm not about to sit here. And I think that's what people don't understand what I'm saying. A win is a win. And you take them any way you could get them.
Sure, of
because
course.
It's a W. Because at the end of the day, what people are mad at is what they saw. They saw some bad baseball last night.
I mean, they made three outs on the bases.
I am not sitting here, and I think that's what people get mad because they're mad at me because I'm being optimistic. The bottom line is this. You go into the game trying to win. And as ugly as that game was last night, see, this is where people don't understand is that game was not going your way. Nope. And it didn't look like it was going your way. But you fought through that adversity. That's what I'm talking about. When you talk about that suburban energy, I'll even go as far as say this. If Otto Kemp wasn't out there, they don't win that game.
I agree. He had three hits, yeah. He's a big part
they
of it.
They don't win that game. And that's the difference. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm trying to get people to understand is that you have somebody that came in last night that is fighting to stay. 25-year-old that has been in the minors for a while.
Undrafted player.
Undrafted player who gets an opportunity to go out there and be the catalyst for them to win. That's the things that I don't think people understand, and that's what I'm talking about.
Well, I love the Otto Kemp part of it. The frustrating part is the other guys, right?
The suburban kids.
Yeah, the guys that are supposed to know
the
what they're doing, and they struggle.
The guys that don't know how to handle struggle. They don't know how to – the simple fact, we had two different sides of the coin last night. Mm. To your point, Kyle, Alec Boehm gets frustrated and throws a hissy fit.
Yeah, which I'm tired of. Enough.
And do you know what Otto Kemp does? He goes out there and lays down a bunt. A bunt that he ain't laid down in about 30 years.
He's playing
about 50.
He's 25. And he's playing with his hair on fire.
Yes, because he's trying to stay. He knows that their opportunities are few and far between, and he's trying to capitalize on his opportunity. Alec Boehm goes out there, and he doesn't fight through adversity. He throws a hissy fit. That's the difference.
I agree with that. But as far as it being a turning point, I can't go there this morning.
I think it can be.
Well, we all hope you're right. I mean, this is one, we all hope Hugh Douglas is right. We all doubt he's wrong. We all hope he's right. That's just, and sometimes you're right about these things. I mean,
I'm pretty thorough with my rightness, though. I mean, I ain't trying to toot my own horn. Now, but
sometimes we like to look at the big picture versus small picture. You did tell us yesterday that Boehm would be the catalyst.
Yeah.
I thought that. Yeah,
he had tears in his eyes in the field again. Yeah, he's a grown up. All right.
But Nick Castellanos came through with a hit, though. He got a hit.
Also got out on the bases. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to. I tend to look more at the positive.
Yeah, big picture.
Yeah, we know.
Big picture. Yeah.
The Castellanos one was the worst of them all.
Oh, my God.
I mean, what on earth compelled him to think that he could make it to second?
Nothing.
Because he was
nothing.
He was trying to make something happen. That is, to me, that's the Otto Kemp effect. That's what Otto brought to the
table.
Well,
but man, we didn't need to tone that down a little bit.
No, I'm not. Because it's
we can't be stretching singles into doubles and getting down on the bases.
No, but it's more
the
about
Otto Kemp effect.
Trying to
spinning your three days.
Well, no, it's not. I'm not spinning. It's the way I see things. You call it spin. And I know, boy, they're gonna kill me on you people.
Oh,
today.
They're ready to crush
but
you, I'm sure.
All I'm saying is this. This is that want to that I'm talking about that this team has not had.
to go back to the Titanic reference, if we are using that again, right? It's like
it's pretty good. It's been working pretty good.
Well, we're taking on water, and you put a piece of like electric tape over one of the holes of the boat.
I'm waiting for the life preservers, man. They're coming.
And
they're
you're
on
like, hey, we passed
gotta,
this hole.
We
up.
Gotta be optimistic, yeah, man. It was a
great win. It was fun, but I mean,
did you say great win? You said great win.
It was a great 11th inning. The win itself was not fun.
I don't know, Kyle. You might have to go back and listen to that one.
I did say that. It was a great win. But what it was a great 11th inning. That's what I meant. It was a fun ending to the game that mostly bothered all of us.
It was an awful win.
But it was a win. That's the thing. It was a win.
I take back the great win. It was a great 11th inning. It was a great couple bunts.
See, you guys don't want to see it. You don't want to see it, and you don't want to believe in it.
I saw bad baseball for hours.
And I get that, but this could be the catalyst. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, jeez. All right, before we go back to the phones, can we hear more?
Do we have to go back to the phones?
Yeah, we do.
Do we have to? I'm looking at this phone line, and it's not going well for me.
Can we hear more delusion? Let's hear Topper before the game yesterday. Asked about Kevin Long, who a lot of people, including myself, would be very happy if he was out of here, no longer the hitting coach. Here is what Topper said about K-Long yesterday.
Whenever a team struggles like this, people immediately say change the hitting coach. Why do you think Kevin is the right guy still leading this group?
I think Kevin's the best hitting coach in baseball. And I think these guys listen to him. He works. He's a tireless worker. He's great with the players. He's knowledgeable. Obviously, he's knowledgeable. But he also tells them the truth. And they respect that.
All right, so he says he's the best hitting coach here in all of baseball.
Yeah, I heard him.
Yeah.
And he's not the only one that says that.
Mm. How come they don't hit more?
From my...
just a simple question.
They listen to him.
Yeah, I mean...
That might be the problem.
To me, it's one of two things. Either he is a great hitting coach, and these guys, a lot of the lineup, are not good hitters, so he can't make them good, or he's not that good. I mean, I can't see it both ways.
I look at it like this, and I'm going to use Alec Bohm as an example.
Okay.
A lot of times when you're at the plate, you might have the mechanics that the coach is teaching you in your head the right way, right? Mm-hmm. But you might revert to what you feel, what is comfortable for you.
Sure.
And it feels like a lot of times, just from my, watching Bohm in the limited capacity that I watch him in, that's what he does. He goes back to what's comfortable, and it's really not working for him. And Ruben told me this morning that during the course of the season, guys are reluctant to change their approach. That's what he said. He said because I asked him flat out, I'm like, why aren't guys more willing to change their approach when at the plate during the season? Because it's super, like, they're just comfortable in the position.
That's more of an off-season thing. Yeah, right? We have more time away from the game. I get that. Look, I don't think Kevin Long is a disaster. He's had a long career, but he just isn't getting results from these guys. Again, it took 11 innings, two bunts, and the Cubs throwing the ball all over the field last night to get to four runs. I mean, that's how they got to four. They had two runs last night, again, through 10 innings, and that included the guy on base to start the 10th inning. That's not good offense last night. They ran into outs the whole game. All right, one more here. This was Kyle Schwarber before the game talking about, hey, team meeting, is it time for that? How do you go about this? Here's Schwarber on kind of the philosophy the Phillies have had trying to get through this rough patch.
There's not really team meeting aspect-wise. You know, I think everything comes around naturally, that everyone walks around the room, everyone talks to each other, you know, especially even when you're going through it in Pittsburgh and whatever it is. Everyone has conversations, and I think that's the biggest message, is just making sure that, my biggest thing is just never riding the high, never riding the low, right? You have to be able to stay that same person on a daily basis. And if you can control your emotions and you can control your attitude and the things that you can't control on a daily basis, good things are going to happen.
Hugh, what do you make of that one? Because it feels to me that's where he's saying, like, hey, we don't need a team meeting because we're doing this every day. Like, every day he's talking to this guy and that guy and trying to keep everyone. Like, it seems like he wants to make it less formal than a, hey, we need a team meeting. Let's just do it piece by piece, day by day, and that counts instead of a big meeting.
I think that's the biggest difference, because as a football player, we have a week. We have a whole week of practice and everything to get ready for the next game. So we're constantly correcting the mistakes. We get a chance to look at the plays that we messed up,
right,
and go over them and get a better understanding of how we fit in the offensive side or the defensive side. the thing with baseball players, in my opinion, is you probably don't even watch that game last night because you're getting ready for today's game.
Right. They may watch their own individual at-bats, or the pitcher might watch his mechanics.
You might do that when you come in for a little while, but that's not enough to change a whole, I don't think, a whole lot in what, 18 hours, 12 hours, something like that, whatever that is. That's not a lot. That's not a lot of time to change it because you're getting ready for the next game.
You're probably watching more film on the next pitcher rather than what you did wrong the day before.
Yes, and then that's why you try to go in the batting cage and just try to, you know, tweak some small tweaks. I would think probably get that a little bit earlier, get a couple at-bats in to try to tweak it that way. But you're really not in a position, I don't think, to change a whole lot because you don't have a whole lot of time.
Right. I generally think team meetings in baseball are overrated. I mean, what is Kyle Schwarber going to say? Like, we got to stop making outs on the base. Like, they know what they do wrong. I mean, they know what. Now, if they think someone's not trying or there's an issue, like, that's different. And I actually think they work better when the manager calls them because the manager seems to be kind of be off in his own world most of the time. But I'm with Schwarber on this. Like, he probably talks to everyone individually throughout the week, and that suffices in terms of his message getting across. I don't need team meetings. I need wins. And I need them to play better baseball. And last night was a fun 11th inning. I accidentally called it a great win earlier. It was not. It's not a great win. Not when you have that many outs on the bases.
He's going to hang on to that.
I know. I know he is. That's his thing. But
I'm not going.
Well, you probably are. You're the baseball guy right here. No, we know that. 215-592-9494. Hugh believes last night could be a turning point for the season. Agree, disagree. Where do you come down on the win? John in West Philly. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, Joe? Let me take you off speaker.
You got it, John.
All right. So, I was telling Kyle on the phone. I'm with Hugh today and stuff. I don't think that it was a good win. I think that it was a win. It was an okay win. But when I look around the MLB and stuff like that and I watch other teams, when, you know, the quote-unquote good teams are winning, when they win 2-1, nobody, like, puts up a fit. It's still a win. And I'm tired of everybody discrediting, like, you know, what the Phillies do well. Like, you know, Otto Kemp out there putting bunts down. Johan Rojas sacked bunts and stuff to move runners and stuff. I'm aware of, like, everything that we did wrong and stuff like that, but I'm just tired of everybody just being so low when we're at, like, our lowest moments and stuff like that. Like, why is the sky always falling for us and nobody else?
Ooh, I can answer that question.
Go ahead. What do you got?
It's because of the expectations for this team. Now, I'll sit here, and I know everybody's upset because they're expecting more from this team. Because for us, this is a World Series contender, and they're not playing like it. So I get that, and that's why a lot of people are frustrated, because they're supposed to be better than this at this point.
So, John, I think there's the way you framed it, like other teams can win 2-1 or, you know, a low score, and it's not looked at a negative. I think not all 2-1 wins or 4-3 wins or whatever are the same. Like, if last night they won 2-1 and Wheeler was great for his 6 or 7 innings and the bullpen went, you know, shutdown inning. I'd be fine with that. Like, they held down.
I completely understand, Joe. But, like, when you look at our lineup, look at what we went into the game yesterday with. Like, the only people that you were confident in is Kyle Schwarber and Trey Turner. And, like, against all odds, somehow we came out and won the game with Otto Kemp going out there playing hard. I don't know what the hell Castellanos is doing time on the second. But, you know, like, look at what we had. We probably had only two competent hitters, and we beat the Cubs, like, a good Cubs team. Like, look at that lineup.
Well, you're right. I mean, and they held them down for the most part. Like, other than the Strom home run he allowed, the pitching was good last night.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with Strom, but that's
I know. It's unfortunate he's going back with you. John, we appreciate the call. As Kirkering has gotten better, Strom has given up more hard contact for, it feels like, 2 or 3 weeks now, which is not a good sign. But, yeah, look, not just because you win 2-1 doesn't mean it's a bad win. A lot of great Phillies teams have won games 2-1 on the back of a great starting pitcher like Zach Wheeler last night. The issue is, like, think about all the mistakes they made last night.
A lot of mistakes.
They had an error in the field. They ran into 3 outs on the bases. I mean, just that alone, you might not see that again the rest of the season from any team. Where it's pretty rare to run into 3 outs in the same game on the bases. That's remarkable. They hit into 3 double plays. It's like pulling teeth to get some runs for this team sometimes. So, yeah, look, they beat a good team, and I'm happy they did. And I got Hugh over here, you know, jumping up and down, saying it is the turning point of the season, comparing it to a Super Bowl champion, you know, winning a game in Week 5. I can't get there. I mean, that was last night more of luck or more of skill?
Luck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
agree.
I'm not lying to you, but the desire was there. You can't deny the desire.
They had urgency to them last night. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and sometimes, Joe, that's all it takes. Because like I said, I saw the game differently. Like, a lot of people focused on the mistakes that were made. I focused on the desire to try to win that game, regardless of the mistakes that was made. And I also focused on the other guys that Otto Kemp pulled begrudgingly to help win the game. Brandon Marsh. Remember yesterday we were talking about the lineup?
Mm-hmm.
And I said something to the effect, well, we were trying to figure out where to put certain people. And I said Marsh's name, and I think I said it at fourth or fifth or something like that. And he was like, oh, for real? Like, you know, he's having a horrible season. He came up big last night.
Pinch hit and came through late, yeah.
He came up big, and that's what I tend to focus on because I believe this. And I'm starting to believe this for real. I think they listen a lot more, the players, that is, than we think they do. And I think they hear when somebody believes in them because a lot of times, you know, as fans, and which is our right to do because we're fans, when they hear people that are being like, oh, these guys think and stuff like that, it's a little bit refreshing to hear somebody that say, hey, man, I believe in you.
Are you trying to be the refreshing voice the Phillies need?
I didn't say it. You did.
No, you're alluding to it.
I didn't say that.
Well, you're saying that you think the Phillies listen.
I do.
And sometimes if you, like a voice of positivity can make them feel
doesn't
good.
Doesn't it feel like that, though?
Sometimes.
Because, doesn't it? Because I say it. I mean, I'm not. This is not me, you know, tooting my own horn.
No, it sounds like it. Yeah.
But I said yesterday that somebody needs to spark this team.
Yes.
30-year-old ass Otto Kemp.
25-year-old rookie
42
Otto Kemp.
You really think he looks that old? He looks old. He looks a little older, man. And Otto,
well,
if you're listening.
He is older than your typical rookie. He's 25.
Otto, if you're listening, that's because you've been working hard, man. I appreciate you.
Poor guy. Gets here, has a great night. You come in, you say he looks old.
Otto, you do look. You look old.
Let me look at his face here. I don't think he looks old.
He look a little old.
It's the mustache.
Yeah, it's the porn stash. Yeah, that's the porn stash.
He looks a little bit older than your typical rookie.
What typical rookie? He look old. It's okay to look. He's not old, but he look old.
If not for the stash, I don't think you'd be saying this. I think it's the stash.
No, I probably would.
Yeah.
He looks weathered. He looks weathered.
No one wants to be called. Old catcher's mitts are weathered. You don't want to.
Otto.
Old jackets are weathered.
Otto, you did a good job, dog, but you look weathered. It's okay.
Poor guy's in his Uber right now going to grab a bite to eat. Oh, what are they talking about? Like, WIP?
Who is this weenie up here calling with this full beard? He probably looking like old ass calling me old. Otto, you look like me and you about to get ARP about the same time. Well, I already got it.
You called him weather. The guy's been in the big leagues for a few days.
He's trying to stay. He played like he's trying to stay.
Yeah, well, good. I hope he does stay. I really like him better than Alec Boehm. Lee is up next on WIP. Hey, Lee.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Lee?
Nothing much. How you guys doing?
How you doing?
We're good. We got a win last night.
I'm good, man. Listen, I'm a lifetime listener. First time caller, lifetime listener, because I love the show. Love you guys.
We appreciate that, Lee. So what's on your mind?
Man, listen, great game last night. I mean, good win, put it that way. Not great. Good win for the team, for the morale. But I hear you guys every day, and every day is Alec Boehm is kind of the topic with the show, and nobody on the team is struggling more than JT Realmuto at bat. And you guys, as fans, hold radio talk, or just frustrated. Imagine how that guy feels at bat when he wants to help his team. And he can't just because he hits a grounder.
So this is more about us than it is about Alec.
Yeah.
It's about you.
So what do you want me to do? You want me to give him some grace? Give him some grace for Alec Boehm?
Man, dude, yeah, give him some grace, man. Nobody's struggling more on that team than JT Realmuto. You cannot depend on JT to get you a hit.
Well, so two things. One, he did get the big hit last night to tie the game. But you're right.
That was last night.
Yes.
Yeah.
In general, you're right. Lee, I guess for me the difference is I expect this now at this point of JT's career, at his age, after all the games he's caught, my expectations are very low for his offense. I can't use my energy getting mad at JT when I don't expect much. I just think he's a very declining offensive player. This is supposed to be Alec Boehm's prime, Lee. Like, this is supposed to be the best he's ever been at 28 years old. Like, he's in right in that spot where he's supposed to be a star. And it's not just that he struggles, because that happens to every player. You're right. It's the body language, Lee. I can't handle his body language. It's like he's a child out there when he makes an out. It drives me crazy. I mean, that's just me. Maybe it doesn't bother you, but I can't handle it.
Yeah, and at some point, man, you can't wear your emotions on your sleeve the way that he does. You know, it feels like he crumbles in big moments.
I hear you, Hugh, but it's just like we're so frustrated with him. And I understand that he does act a certain way, but he wants to do better. And
can I ask you a question? Do you have children?
Of course I have children, yes.
How old? Are they older kids or younger kids?
I have a 20-year-old, I have an 18-year-old, and I have a 13-year-old.
So they're fairly younger. So you're still in that phase where, you know, you're still, for lack of a better way of saying it, coddling your kids, right? You're still in that phase where, you know, you're their protector and you do mostly what you can for them, right?
Correct.
I have a 26-year-old daughter that's here with me right now. And right now, I'm balancing the act of trying to be her protector and at the same time allowing her to spread her wings. And a lot of times, man, like, you just got to let them spread their wings. You know, you can't coddle them all the time, because at some point you're not going to be here and they have to learn how to face adversity and handle that. That's where I am with my daughter right now. You can't keep saying that, you know, you're being too hard on them or this, that, and the third, because life is hard. You know what I'm saying? So he's old enough and he's had enough success where he shouldn't be acting the way that he's acting right now. That's the problem. This man is, what, damn near 30, has been to an All-Star game and has regressed. And he's still out there in key moments acting like a petulant child when his team needs him. And Otto Kemp, a guy who Joe pointed out that wasn't even drafted, comes in hungry. You know, like when you hear kids say, get it from the mud? That's what Otto Kemp is trying to do. He's doing whatever it takes for them to look at him and say, hey, we need this guy in the lineup. That's what's needed. And that's what Bone needs, because they tried to get rid of him.
Yeah, and I couldn't understand. I really couldn't understand that, because he was on fire last season. He was just,
and he regressed.
That dude was on fire,
and he regressed.
I mean, they all struggle, man. Look at Bryson Stott. They all struggle.
What moment can you think of that Bryson Stott had? Excuse me, Alec Bohm had this year outside of hitting in that small band box of a park that he was in. What other moment has he had this year that you can say, hey, looks like he's coming back and being the guy that we thought he was?
Yeah, none. And Lee, I understand we want
a few games ago, he was what, 4-for-4?
Yeah, he's had some good games. He gets some singles. And Lee, we appreciate it. I understand you want him to succeed and you feel like some positivity could be good. I can't pretend he's not a frustrating player, though. Like, I don't feel the same way about every player that struggles. Some players are frustrating when they struggle, and Alec Bohm is frustrating. Look, last night was a unique kind of win, because there's parts of it, or a lot of it, where you feel like you hate watching this team at points. It's like, what am I watching? What am I wasting my time on? They look ridiculous out there running the bases. But then there's that 11th inning, and the energy that Otto Kemp brought, that Hughes pointed out. I hope he's right on this. I mean, I know he's wrong about defense. I hope he's right, dead right about this, that it is a turning point, and we got a lot of wins coming. All right, 215-592-9494. We're back to all your phone calls to Phillies coming up after we talk to Mark Ross, who recently said the Eagles should have one big-time player on their radar. He used to work for the Eagles, now NFL Network. Mark Ross joins us coming up. All your phone calls as well, 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.